This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the Drink Talking with the Thinking Drinkers, Ben McFarland and Tom Sandon, and Mistress of Wine, Sam Capon. All the booze news and views, from absinthe to Zinfandel. Older Budweiser.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to It's the Drink Talking, a podcast all about drink. My name is Tom Sandham. I am one of the thinking drinkers, an expert in spirits, and I am joined today, as ever, by my fellow thinking drinker, Ben McFarland, an expert in beer. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm having a good time in life generally. We are, as the Thinking Drinkers, currently on tour, aren't we? Touring the UK, enjoying life with our massive audiences, which continues to be a huge surprise that people actually turn up. What have you been doing this week? Anything good?
Well, my little baby boy's got a hand, foot and mouth, and so I've been putting cream on his body.
Okay.
Aww. Nice. Yeah.
And we are also joined by the mistress of wine, Sam Capon.
Did you forget my name for a minute?
No, I didn't. I just called you a master of wine, but you're actually the mistress of wine.
I'm the mistress of wine, In fact, on Wednesday night, it was the annual Master of Wine reception.
It really is an exclusive bash, I imagine.
It is quite exclusive. There's only about 300 of us in the world. 360, something like that. But no, it's where you welcome in the newly passed Master's Wine. It's jolly nice. It's in Vintners Hall.
Are there any sort of initiation stuff that I have to down some Lafitte through this, a pair of underpants?
If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Oh, bet it's secret handshakes.
Astonishingly dull. I bet it's so boring.
Well, anyone who has that much interest in a subject matter, Ben.
Oh yes, noble rot.
I love wine.
You know what? I will say I haven't been for a number of years, but no, it's lovely because I don't know. You can give yourself a bit of a pat on the back, remind yourself how you felt when you passed, and all the hard work you put in, and then actually you see people you haven't seen for a number of years, and it is sponsored by Bollinger. Thank you, Champagne Bollinger. So there's free flowing Bollinger. So you just sit and catch up with old friends, drink some fizz.
So who won the Bollinger Prize this year?
Oh, it was a guy called Jeremy. I didn't really know hardly any of the graduates this year. There was one girl who clearly deeply clever. She won like 4 out of the 7 prizes.
Really?
The youngest in the world.
Good looking, not that that matters.
It
doesn't matter.
And I think she might have had a tiny baby with her as well.
Great.
Perfect for Saturday kitchen.
She doesn't live in the country.
Oh, where's she from? She's not Scandinavian,
think,
is she?
Oh, sorry, Sarah, I should know this. I think she might be from Hong Kong.
Hong Kong? Okay.
Yeah, well, that's far enough away.
She was clearly super bright.
Okay.
And seemed jolly nice. I didn't talk to her. But, it was a nice evening.
Right, yeah. Anyway, let's get on with the podcast.
What about Louis C.K.?
That will be edited. It's a real disappointment that some people behave that way, but let's move on.
Why do you want to do it?
You want to be careful, Ben, because when you get famous, that's when things start coming out. To be fair, I'm sure no woman has ever said no to you, Ben.
Well, the thing is, it seems to be an abuse of power, and I've never had any power.
No, that's true. And you've always
no,
you've
no
always
one's ever needed in, anything from me.
You've
for
always
me to,
fished in waters that are safe, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
you've never gone big game fishing. You've always gone for the easy catch. I don't know how you managed to bag your wife.
So yeah,
that
she's
is
hot.
Still that yeah. is still a mystery. And she'll wake up one day and work out it's all gone wrong. Let's start the podcast, and we start, as ever, listeners, with a spit or swallow, and as I'm apparently hosting this in some sort of shambolic way, I'm going to do it today. So I'm going to start with my swallow, and it's all about Jesus and religion. And I'm going to start with a motto, and this is a motto from a church in South Africa. Praise the Lord and pass the libation. Because this is a church in Johannesburg in South Africa where they invite drinkers into the church. They celebrate
Amen.
Drinkers. Amen indeed. Amen indeed. There's a big drinks problem in Johannesburg. And so some of the churches have shunned drinkers from their congregations. So this minister has gone out there and said, I'm going to establish a church that's purely
for the boozers,
celebrating the drinkers. Now, on the one hand, obviously there are people in there who are problem drinkers. We don't condone that. But there are other people who just enjoy a drink. And the fact is that a lot of the churches have just been frowning generally on drinking.
Can they drink in the church?
They drink during the service. You can be baptised or christened using your preferred
and it's not just wine.
Beverage.
It's not just the bread
no,
of Christ. It's basically
everything. It's everything. I mean, looking at the pictures of this, it looks like a joyous celebration, the services, and there are bottles
of free booze? Are they basically...
No.
Is it like BYO?
Yes, it's a definitely bring your own. But the more serious end of it was this fact that all these people who actually wanted a worship and
were not allowed to do it.
So because of such a stigma attached to drinking generally.
I thought the church would be a bit more charitable. I thought that's the whole idea, wasn't it?
Well, also, I mean, what little we know of religion, Ben,
we can certainly
showcase our experience here. There are mentions of alcohol throughout the Bible.
There are.
Certainly from a Christian faith point of view. It's something that has got deep roots in the religion. Jesus' blood, as we know, is wine.
Mm-hmm. He turned water into wine,
he turned
quite
water
famously.
We've had that discussion before.
It's rubbish.
Yeah.
It would have been beer.
Beverage. But, I mean, I think this is a good thing, a positive thing. They're saying that it's an environment
where no one will
be judged.
Is it morning?
No, they're
church.
Doing them around lunchtime, and they are holding them in the back of Freddy's bar.
What?
Yeah. I mean, if we really deeply dip into the story,
just walked into a bar and everyone's
like
just congregated around him.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it. He's just found the back of a bar, and the owner of Freddy's is obviously pretty happy. But he told reporters this, that since the church started, crime has been reduced. And we've received a great response from the community. So
that is interesting. And I wonder if that's because maybe some of the boozers have had a reawakening of, you know...
Their faith.
Yeah, their faith. And thus, you know, civic responsibilities and just feeling part of belonging. So that's your swallow, right?
It is my swallow. I mean, there are, again, you can pick lots of holes in this story. I don't want to because I'm swallowing this story, but there are no women allowed. it starts to fall down a little bit there.
Wait, are you being
serious?
I mean,
one of the reasons is that they can't trust some of the congregation, and until they can monitor the behaviour and feel that it's a safe environment for everyone, children are not allowed in for obvious reasons.
Oh, this sounds an amazing way to spend a Sunday.
It's quite an exclusive gathering.
Well, you've got a free pass tonight. Get on the plane.
Go to Joburg.
Check out the church.
Sorry, love. I'm off to church.
Church?
Yeah. Take the kids. No, I can't take them. Can I come? No, you can't come. Why have you got that bottle of Johnny Walker?
Well, you know. I'm just going to hang out.
See you a bit later.
I'm just going to hang out with Jesus.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's just a pub, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's a pub where they're just hanging around.
It's an exclusive pub. No children or women allowed.
They've had too much to drink. They've started believing in Jesus and they've started talking about it with some guy in a minister's outfit. That's all that's going on in there. The religious associations with alcohol have always interested us as thinking drinkers. We do our research into where booze stands in human history, and it does have good, strong associations with monks making booze. We've had the nun, Hildegard of Bingen, who first used hops in brewing.
So just interrupt there quickly.
Yeah.
Do you know Jesus is actually an historical figure?
We've done that as well. We've done this.
Oh, I can't talk about
yeah, we know he was a real magician, a magical superhero. We know all about him.
What's your spit?
My spit, then, is the price of bar snacks.
Oh, and, well, I like that one.
And I think that this is something the three of us are going to agree on, and it's based on a recent experience where I asked in a pub whether I could have some snacks, and I was told that they had a selection in jars. This is not going to be news to people. It's not going to be news to people.
They
had big
me.
Jars, and let's be honest, they could easily have come from a cash and carry. They charged £3.50 for a small bowl.
£3.50.
Now, that was almost as much as my pint. I just took them, and then he said £3.50, and I did say no.
Did you?
I don't want those. Not for £3.50. Come on, mate. They're just salted peanuts. And he put them back in the jar. I hope that's not what happens in restaurants. They just put it back in a pot. But anyway, I was pretty cheesed off. And I just thought, well, this is the start of something. This is the start of a revolution. If this is happening in a pub. Now, as we've said in previous podcasts, this is, if you go back, I enjoy more luxury lifestyle than the two of you.
And what?
Sometimes, Sam, you dip into it through the world of champagne. Ben, you're obviously a peasant.
Yeah, I mean, bear in mind, this man lives in Harpenden.
Yeah, you're a peasant.
So you're not referring to your bloody trip to France on your private jet again.
Well,
private
jets, but also cocktail bars where it's not out of character to be in a bar where I am asked to pay through the nose for some sort of snack. However, I would say more commonly in an upmarket hotel bar or a really good cocktail bar, a lot of those things are handed out complimentary. So although you can pay through the nose...
For your cocktail, you get some lovely, big, fat green olives.
The
what
side.
Are they called?
Yeah. Olives. Well, Duke's Bar, where you get those olives, which are absolutely stunning.
Well, I think it's daft of a venue to charge too much, because if you give them lots of salty nuts, then you're
thirsty.
Well, Ben, this is it.
You drink loads of beer.
This is the history of snacks. This is why they made their way onto the bar top in the first place. I mean, aside from the oysters that were served up next to porter back in the 18th century?
Plucking
dates out of my backside there. I mean, those were common muck back then, weren't they? The oysters, now obviously seen as a bit la-di-da. But the invention of crisps and into the sort of 20th century when we had those salty snacks. It's all about making punters
drink
more, drink quickly. Mm. If you're served up a salty snack next to a pint of beer, you nail it. The first one you nail, and you're already onto the second one. So why make those a barrier to sell? Make it part of the experience and free.
Yeah.
I mean, how much does it really cost for a cash and carry tub of peanuts?
But they used to be much more commonly seen bowls of peanuts just out on the bar top.
It did.
Which then people are health and
safety. Yeah,
cleaning your hands.
Going for a pee and then handling nuts.
Yeah, but
that's the same thing, really, aren't it?
No, not for me.
No, I understand that.
I never have.
I understand that, but I think the extension of this is then going, I mean, obviously we've had a huge revolution in food in pubs, and that's been interesting and fun, and the last 10 years have seen the quality of pub food go up. On the tail of that has been the introduction of these crisp brands, which are frankly ridiculous, and gone are the standard crisps as well. So the price of a packet of crisps has gone up.
Yeah.
And now you're paying for what I can only describe as bollocks flavours that are just mishmashes
of lime and jalapeno peppers. Old school.
Well,
scampi fries, bit of Monster Munch.
Do you know
so
what?
Pleased to
cheese
hear
and
that.
Onion.
So this is my list. I made a list of the things that I expect to see. I was quite versatile and exotic in that I put Bombay Mix on there, Twiglets, salted dry nuts, anything by Smith's. Now, Smith's do the cheese-flavoured moments, which are lesser spotted, but they did a bacon fries and the scampi.
But do you remember the Smith's that used to have a little blue packet of salt in there, and you used to open that and...
Shake your own,
I played in a football tournament sponsored by those guys.
Oh, well. And, well, I can beat your snack claims because I interviewed... When I worked on the Publican, I was the author of the annual snack report. Thank you very much.
I was a fan.
Yeah. I interviewed the Big D Nut Girl.
Yeah, that is big.
Big D Nut Girl.
Do you remember those Big D Nuts? And they were on a sort of card.
Yes.
And you used to put, and the more packets you took off, the more you would reveal the scantily clad lady in a bikini. And it was they brought it back in a kind of...
Was
ironic retro. It was a phone interview. It wasn't the best because she didn't know anything about pubs or indeed nuts.
No.
So for a snack report,
wasn't good.
It was just a nice way to spend an hour just hanging out with her.
Yeah.
We got some free nuts recently, which I thought was a nice gesture. We were down the local and something went awry with our order and our pizzas got bounced. Considerably.
That's the sound. Very good.
Yeah, I think
I
send those back.
On realising the error, we did get a number of free nibbles that had all been served from artisan jars and would have been quite expensive.
Well, yeah. I mean, in terms of their pricing, would have been very, very cheap, I'm sure, to actually buy. The driving factor seems to be healthier as well, especially on crisps, all these different brands coming out with
veggie crisps. Where do we stand with
veggies? Oh, my God. That was the other thing. Thanks, Ben, for bringing veggie crisps up. Because as part of this story, I found out that they could just try the peddling fruit as crisps. Shut up. That's not a crisp. And I go for a run. I'll eat some fruit in my own time. If I go to the pub, I'll buy a pint and a packet of Walker's cheese and onion. I don't want a fruit crisp. Stop making me feel guilty about having a packet of
carbohydrates.
Also, I don't understand veggie crisps because potatoes are vegetables.
Yes, good point.
But they're not a carbohydrate. The vegetables, I think they're just better for you. They're obviously fried, but they're jolly nice. Nice little parsnips and beetroot. I like them.
No, well, that's not so bad.
They're a bit flimsy. Like if you want to have them with hummus or something.
There's no purchase.
Load it up.
Yeah, they're just not as satisfying. No. You can't get a big one and do a really good scoop.
No.
Yeah. They're a little bit more.
Do you ever get with kettle chips? Sometimes they leave like a massive one in that. That's quite satisfying.
I like a big one.
I always feel like a bit wicked.
And I see you've got Monster Munch on your list as
Of course. I mean,
I've just introduced my son to that with great success, and I actually thought it was going to be a pivotal part of our relationship, as in if my son wasn't keen on pickled onion Monster Munch.
I find they clag on the tooth a little bit.
They really do.
They got smaller as well. I'm pretty sure they got smaller.
They could be.
So that was my spit.
Excellent. Yeah, that was good. Really enjoyed that.
Genuine ire.
I'm in.
Cheesed off.
I'm also cheesed off.
That's nuts. Yeah. Those prices.
Yes. Twiglets. That doesn't work. So that was my spit or swallow. Thank you for listening to that. If you are still listening, you haven't gone to go and buy some Monster Munch, let's taste something, because all that talk of salt has got me thirsty. So what are we going to be tasting today? We are tasting wine with you, Sam. What have you got for us?
Today, Tom and Ben, I've got two Pinot Noirs.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to It's the Drink Talking.
Do you know anything about Pinot Noir from Sideways?
I tend to think about it as a seasonal red.
So in what regard?
Well, because it's lighter, I tend to go to it in the summer months.
Do you
but
indeed?
It's probably paired with something lighter with my meals.
I would say a couple of things. One, yes, it is lighter, and we'll touch on that when we taste the wines.
Oh, I love to touch on
that. Two, fruity reds are quite delicious chilled, which would be another serving option in the summer, because chilling the wine, what it does is it sort of slightly flattens the fruit but highlights the structure. So if you've got a fruity wine, then you can play around with it a bit. But if you had a really tannic wine and then chilled it, it'd be gross because it'd be all structure, no fruit. So something like with a nice bit of tuna or something in the summer, or great with turkey. Completely other end of the spectrum.
Oh, right. See, I thought you were talking about summer. I was like, it's not very tropical, Sam. It's November. What are you doing?
Yeah,
and
no,
put out the bag.
No, Pinot for me is...
Is it because it's got like cranberry flavors?
Yeah, I think exactly. It's that kind of thing. The thing with Christmas lunch, though, is it's got so many other bits and pieces in it as well as a turkey. So it is quite tricky to match with. You do need versatility. Turkey's not massively flavourful, but what else you got with your Christmas lunch?
Oh, you've got all the trimmings.
What's that then? You've got your pigs in blanket.
Stuffing, sagey, and quite savoury. Yeah.
So you've got lots of herbal stuff.
Bread
you've
sauce.
Got the bread sauce. Sausages. Yeah. You've got the pigs in blankets.
Bacon on the sausages.
Again. Pigs in blankets. You're saying sausages and bacon separately.
Yeah, bacon, sausages.
Yeah. Bread pudding, do we say that?
Brussels sprouts. Oh, God, I love a Brussels sprout.
I had some a couple of weeks ago.
Roasties, roast potatoes.
Parsnips.
Yes. Oh, my mother
gravy.
Does.
Gravy.
Garlic
gravy.
Creamed parsnip. Whoa. Parsnip puree.
La-di-da.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That is cool.
So with all that...
Jazz,
you know, really, you know, there's a lots of different ways you can have, but traditionally, a Pinot Noir is an excellent match with
now,
a roast.
I've got family in Oregon and Washington.
Great Pacific Pinot Noirs there.
Yeah,
that's Pinot
really,
country.
Quite expensive, even
they
there.
Are. American wines are generally quite expensive.
Even when you go there. They're over there. Because we're having, what are we drinking a lot of over
unless
there.
You go for $2 which is the other end of the
Zinfandels.
Spectrum.
I love a Zinfandel. And we were buying it almost next door to the vineyards, weren't we?
Yeah,
and it was still
camel,
15
mate.
Quid a so bottle, right? Yeah, you just only had to walk over the road. That's
if
weird,
you go outside the big brands, I'd say, yeah, Californian.
Mm. Well, I imagine the land is quite valuable.
Well, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
So
what does Pinot Noir mean?
Okay, so Pinot Noir is the name of the grape, and it generally produces wines of quite light colour. We'll have a look at the first one. Both these wines today are from Aldi, and the first one is a French Pinot Noir.
Of course they are.
And it's the Vignoble. Oh, you speak French, Ben. I should do your beautiful accent. Vignoble.
Vignoble.
Rosselet.
Rosselet. I've told you how to speak French, Sam. You just put your lips forward.
So the grape is a native of France.
Oh, well, I've got a tumbler.
Yeah, we...
Thanks.
Just, keeping up that. Yeah. There's an end.
And,
cheers.
This wine is £4.49.
What? My God, I'm already
that's
interested.
About £3.80.
I haven't even got it to my nose and I'm buying it. Sold.
And
£4, how much? £4.49?
It's £4.49 a bottle. Pinot's grown all around the world, and it's so it's quite a light varietal in colour because it's a big grape with quite thin skins. It's the colour and structure found in the skins, so generally tends to produce quite lighter coloured wines. I mean, this is really lovely and youthful, isn't it? It's a nice bright colour.
Yeah.
It's generally sort of strawberry, raspberry,
there's
lighter
a lot,
red
wow,
fruits.
I've just had a taste, Sam, and there's a lot more depth to that than I'd necessarily credit.
Look at Tom waxing lyrical about £4.49, but he's just like... That is amazing.
The problem is...
That could be about £10.
So what do you think? I mean, £4.49, so lovely, really... It's quite a light colour, nice fresh acid.
This is the first drink of the day, bearing in mind recording this at 10 o'clock, listeners, in the morning. So it might be my palate is just needs a bit more warming up, but that's really... There's a lot going on in there. It's really quite...
It's quite tanniny, though. My gums are very...
That's quite interesting. So what they've done here is there has been some oak contact. Now, at this price, you're not going to expect any oak barrels.
Okay.
So what they've done is they popped in some chips.
Right.
Now,
and, where do we stand on that?
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Is that seen as naughty?
No, it's not naughty. It's a cheaper way to imbue your wine with a slight oaky nuance without having to chuck all the cash out and at a barrel.
Can they say this has been oak aged?
Or
aged in oak or aged with oak?
I think you probably could say oak aging, and you can use oak chips, you can use staves, which are like bigger planks, you can even use powder. But I think technically, if you've used any sort of, and like sort of tea bags and stuff, but if you've used an oak derivative of any sort, I would suggest you could say oak aging, which is why some people explicitly will say aged in oak barrel, barrel aged, just to really make it obvious that it's been aged in a barrel. So Pinot's grown all around the world. It's real homeland.
But, sorry, just go back to the...
Are you in charge of me?
Yeah, I am. But that tannin...
Yes. It'll largely come from that oak.
So it must have an effect. It's not like they've just lobbed in a couple of bags.
And also, they say it on the label. It says bright red fruits and layers of spice. Now, that spice is coming from the oak influence.
Right.
And here, the oak chips. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is how they've managed to get this oaky complexity and the spicy nuances into the wine at that price. There's no way you can get a barrel-aged wine for $49. And if you like that oak flavour in your wine, then you'll know that it has been introduced into the wine through a two-way. And I've got no problem with that at all. The homeland of France is really Burgundy. That's where a lot of posh wines are made. So you've got the Côte d'Or, and then you've got the Côte de Nuits, and it's in the Côte de Nuits that you get the red wines and all posh names like that. I know, Nuits Saint-Georges, Chevry Chambertin, Beaune, all that. They're all legally made from Pinot Noir. And Pinot Noir is often found in Champagne as well.
Right.
It's one of the three grapes blended predominantly in the big Champagne blends. You've got Pinot Noir, what was used to be called Pinot Meunier, but they've realised it's not part of the Pinot family, so now it's just called Meunier. Mm. And Chardonnay, and they're the three. And if it's a Blanc de Noir wine, it'll be made either 100% from Pinot Noir or it'll have some Meunier in it as well. And then it's grown all around the world, as you said, in Oregon, Washington, California, Australia, New Zealand, which we're going to try next.
I was going to say, I noticed the next bottle has got New Zealand written on it. And have we discovered since the New World wines have started challenging the dominance of Old World that actually the grapes find the earth in New Zealand, the conditions actually better for Pinot Noir?
I think the pinnacle of Pinot Noir winemaking is still indisputably in Burgundy. You know, some of the finest wines in the world are from there. But they're really expensive. And the thing with France is it's so complicated because of the Napoleonic laws of succession. Vineyards get divided up and divided up and divided up. And you can have a village like, Chambon-Musigny, and you can get like hundreds of producers making wine. You know, it's so hard to know if that producer's wine is you like, if you don't like the other producers. So Burgundy, I think, still remains a bit of a minefield. Whereas if you go somewhere like New Zealand, I find it easier to understand. Mm. They're definitely easier to understand with the varietal labelling, and
they're definitely easier to stand than the French, for sure.
and the wineries having their names largely on the thing, which also reminded me of a time I did a vintage in Burgundy many years ago. So when I was studying for my must wine exam, I went to Burgundy. I did a vintage. So you basically go into the vineyards and you hand harvest the grapes, which, you know, quite cold, a lot of spiders. And I really hate spiders.
No, spiders are good.
A lot of spiders
in
the vines.
When I was
in
Cognac recently, when I went on the private jet, the spiders are welcomed into the warehouses, aren't they? Because they eat the other bugs. But they eat the other bugs that are the things that do damage to your crop. Is that right?
They eat pests,
I guess. But you just don't like them.
Yeah, no, I hate spiders.
Do you?
Yeah, I really do. And so that wasn't great. Mm. And I worked in a vineyard before in California as well, in Lodi, and lots of weird vineyard guard dogs, which I didn't really like either. Lots of manky dogs.
I don't have a similar anecdote for the dogs. I imagine they just piss everywhere.
Yeah, just not great.
Maybe that's good for fertilising.
And there's, I think, on my vintage in Burgundy, at a lovely negotiant called Alex Gamble, amazing wines. And actually, that's why I passed my MW red wine paper first time, because I had spent 2 weeks in Burgundy and tasted so much wine and really understood the difference between the different appellations. And then it came up in my paper. So that was good. But I had to leave early because I was in danger of throttling a guy called Kenny, who was one of the vilest people I've ever met. Kenny, the... And, I used to call him Kenny the... something. It's alliterative. And he was vile, and I actually had to leave a couple of days early because I thought I couldn't really be responsible for my behaviour if I stayed any longer.
I suspect, just on my
having worked with
sort
Sam,
of experience of Sam, yeah, that perhaps you were right.
Anyway, this kiwi.
How you find the kiwi?
Well,
tobacco-y.
Ooh, okay.
I'm getting tobacco on
so
it.
This is slightly more expensive. It's £6.99. And this is actually from the Northern Ireland, the south of the North Island, from Wairarapa. Now, for me, this is really a real kiwi Pinot Noir.
It's quite... I'm getting plums.
Yeah, it's plumper. It's quite soft and supple and succulent again. It's got a little bit of that sort of savoury spice coming through. And it's definitely soft, gentle red fruits. But I think this is lovely. What do you think?
I do like it. But will that have spent time in barrels?
That's a good question. I will say...
It doesn't taste like it.
No, yeah. I don't think it has.
It doesn't say on the bottle.
It doesn't mention the bottle. I didn't mention it on the tech spec. No. It didn't mention oak at all.
So if you're not talking about it.
Do you know, the problem I've got with Pinot Noir is that it feels quite thin and light, which is no bad thing.
Yep.
But it still coats your mouth with that tannin that you normally would associate with heavier, bigger-bodied wines. And you feel like you're sort of getting a little bit of a...
Shortchanged?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I just think...
I kind of think of it as a transition wine, though. I tend to start off with the whites with my with my salty snacks.
I mean, if you're drinking three bottles of the evening...
And then...
Yeah, this is the middle one.
This goes but, after the white, before the big reds.
Yeah.
So I always saw it as a bit... A transition wine, really. Or maybe it's a transition from beer...
I think it's good food wine.
Yeah, food
like
wine.
I couldn't just sit here and drink that.
Without anything.
See, I kind of disagree.
Wow, who are you to say?
Just because it's lighter, I think that would be quite easy just to drink while you're pootling around the kitchen doing a cooking. Because it's quite light and because it is lower tannin, even though it has got some tannins, I think...
It just seems to really coat my mouth.
Does it?
Yeah.
This one in particular, or both of them.
Maybe it's because I've had a cup of tea.
And your croissant. And your apple turnover.
No, I haven't had the apple turnover.
Okay. Have you not? Good, come on.
Maybe we'll go with it. Why don't you try that? And next week we'll report back on food pairings.
Yeah.
With pastries
and Pinot.
Pinot versus pastries.
Pinot and pastries. And I've got some mince pies for later as well.
Oh, good. Now you're talking.
Do you both like mince pies? I reckon one of you...
Mince pies.
Well, the John Lewis advert has come out, so the firing gun has been...
Fired.
Fire. Yeah.
Well, great. You say that. I was in a Costa coffee and they were playing Christmas songs on
that's
Monday.
Too early.
That's too early.
I took my car for a service this week, which is quite annoying. It's a year and a half.
Strap yourself in, listeners.
It's about to change gear.
And I had some spare time, so I went and bought some wrapping paper, Christmas paper.
Wow, listeners. If you get any of these anecdotes on other podcasts, I'll be very, very surprised.
Well, what do you mean no one's listening?
Yeah. That's Pinot Noir. Thank you, Sam. They were delicious. I do like a Pinot Noir. It's nice to bring those
I'm going to have to explore that particularly great variety more.
And particularly for Christmas.
Well, it's going on the table at Christmas, whatever.
For £4.49, I've got to say that was good.
Do you have a favourite out of the two?
The £4.49.
Clearly, I've preferred that much more by about £2.
Don't shop in Aldi, to be honest with you, but available for consultation and other work projects, Aldi. Yeah.
And you can get, and they do delivery, so you don't have to go into store for the wines.
Don't have to go in there, it's the people. That's why I don't go in there.
They do delivery.
I went into Aldi the other day, and I bought some nice Rioja, and then I got sidelined. But you know, they have those sort of bins in the middle of the shop full of stuff that look like...
Seasonal stuff.
They've been from a competition, and... It's amazing some of the stuff you can get.
I was there for hours.
Yeah.
Just rooting through like a cobby.
One of those, you know, those radars that scare off cats. Like you put one at one end and one at the other and they send a radar sort of beeping thing to scare off cats.
Yeah.
And it was only like £9.
That's
like,
good. You've got to get that.
But then I thought...
What would you use it?
Just
I like
Nestor's
cat. I want to
use it for the kids.
Yeah. If it worked for kids, and I could put it in the door in the doorway of his bedroom, that would be amazing.
Catnip, in fact. Thank you, Sam. I've enjoyed that immensely. And I think it's time to now just sit back and let Ben regale us with a tale of
good
some
golly.
Emphatic legend of the industry, living or dead. I see him furiously shuffling through his notes to find what he will read from. It looks like a book written by someone. No, it's not. Ben has done his research.
No,
who have you got for us
today?
Ben?
He's a bit of a dickhead.
Ah, brilliant.
By all accounts, but he was an important dickhead.
Is it Hitler?
No.
Okay.
No, not Hitler. He wasn't
a
drinker.
Booze association.
He was a teetotaler Hitler, but I just discovered that when Soviet army were closing on him in the bunkers of Berlin, he married Eva Braun, and they celebrated with a champagne breakfast, and then he shot himself. So booze, it's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah. but what is interesting with a teetotaler like Hitler is the last two things he did was he had a drink, finally, and then he had a good idea, which was to shoot himself in the head.
Exactly. Well done, champagne.
Well done, alcohol.
Yay.
Hooray. So, no, this man is called Joseph Grohl. Grohl. Grohl, as in the... Who's the lead singer of Foo Fighters?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they're related.
Dave Grohl, is it?
Yeah. Dave. But he was a Bavarian brewer in the 19th century. He was brought in by the town of Pilsen in Bohemia, in the Czech Republic now.
Well, Pilsen is named after.
Pilsner, yeah. Mm. Yes. And so
I needed you guys last week in Centre Parks on
No, you didn't. Why? Did your kid don't appear in the
wave machine?
I was wondering what the difference was between lager and Pilsner. There is no difference, right?
No, it's just
the same thing, just a different
Pilsner.
Name.
Well, historically, beer styles have been associated to different towns based on their sort of water sources. So places with good water sources would produce great beer. So Pilsen has got very, very soft water, and it's ideal for lager brewing. And, say, Burton in the Midlands here, it's got hard water, which is associated with ales.
That's what gives it the Burton snatch, isn't
it? It is, Tom.
Is that true? Is it called the Burton snatch?
Yeah, it's really sort of eggy.
Sort of sulfury,
smell.
Yeah. So there you are.
Sign me up for a case.
Yeah, it doesn't sound appealing, but it is a nice beer.
But basically what happened was that there was big rivalry back then between the Germans and the Bohemians about who's making the best beer. And Bavaria, in Munich, a Spartan brewery had just started brewing this kind of slightly amber-style lager called Marzen, which was taking over Europe and everyone was very impressed with it. And the beer that's been made in Pilsen was horseshit, essentially. And so all the local sort of townspeople got together, they threw all the beer down the drain and said, right, that's it. And they invested in this amazing brewery, and then they got in Joseph Grohl, who was himself a Bavarian. And basically they brewed the first ever golden lager. Prior to that, beer had been of a darker hue, and also it probably been slightly cloudy as well. Mm. There was better clarity, but using malting techniques which they'd established in England, very much they were sort of the leading force, the vanguard of that. They all came together in Bavaria because they've got amazing hops, the Czar's hops. They've got Moravian malt, which is really succulent. They've got an amazing water source as well. And they brought in Joseph Grohl, and between them they produced the first ever golden lager, and it was sparkly. And it also coincided with the invention of, or the emergence, rather, of glassware. Up until then, a lot of people had been drinking out of pewter tankards.
And the refrigeration, the idea of it being chilled, is that
yes,
sort of
and they've got like labyrinthine cellars. If you go to the Pilsen Urquell Brewery, it is amazing. And they've still got these hundreds of tunnels with all the coal fermenters, and they're sort of embedded in the cellars and in the rock, and it's amazing.
It's strange to think.
It's strange to think that, you know, up until that point you would have just been drinking heavy dark beers in the summer.
Yes.
These days I just can't imagine.
Yeah, I mean,
what was responsible for the golden colour? The malt, the malting technique.
They'd worked out ways of heating the malt and cooking the malt and drying out the malt, not using coal, direct flames, which would obviously.
So well, it's colouring
like cocoa baking. Pops versus Rice Krispies.
Right.
Yeah. So the way they would cook the malt had changed and had developed. It wasn't an overnight thing. People were working out different ways of doing it. But they were the first to perfect it. But stupidly, they didn't patent it.
Oh.
So if they'd been on, I mean, I don't know, you've seen Dragon's Den.
Yeah,
what's the first thing? I mean, imagine if they'd come along then and there'd been like four or five Dragon's Den, you know, in the 19th century, and they said, right, I've got the first ever golden lager. It's called Pilsner. It's from the town of Pilsen. It's going to go big.
It's going to go off.
It's going to go off. It's going to kick off. We own the name Pilsen, as in we're from Pilsen. And they go, have you painted it? And they go, no, you idiot.
Ooh. Well, it's like the
trademark here.
That's right, it's dog nappies, Ben. That's why I've already
exactly.
painted
Absolutely.
I know.
Shirt weight.
Just spend a few grand on patenting the idea, even before anyone says it's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Because dog nappies are happening.
Cover your asses.
Shower blinds.
Dog's asses. Yeah, that's the actual idea.
Right. Shower blinds.
Shower blinds, yeah. My friend James Wheatley came out with that one.
Thinking drinkers, we've trademarked.
Shower blinds. You have shower curtains.
Yeah.
And then you have that screen that gets full of a sort of limescale.
Yeah.
Why not have a blind that you pull down
and
attaches?
Careful.
Bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, we have painted all this.
You want to be careful. You want to be careful, though.
Shareblinds.com. We don't own that, but shit, we should probably get on the case. Anyway, it's really good. The Chateau Blanc goes up, then you go zut, zut, at the top and you warm it, and it's kind of fun.
I thought when you said it anyway, you moved on.
No. So anyway.
Wasn't there another person we talked about really recently who, was it Heineken or Carlsberg?
Carlsberg.
Yeah. Missing a trick over there, aren't they?
They were all very, very relaxed about looking after their good ideas, weren't
they?
Yeah,
but basically it meant this went. Honestly, it swept right across to America as well. And so people can brew a Pilsner anywhere they want now.
There is no difference between a lager and a Pilsner.
In terms of the production and the yeast.
It is just a different name.
As Ben was saying, in terms of geographical sort of water supplies. I mean, Budweiser is another good example, isn't it? Or Budvar, where they brewed their own style of beer, which again, trademarking issues, the Americans went after.
Yeah,
it.
Well, they're still fighting each other all over the world in law courts or as to whether they can call their beer Budweiser. But if you go to Pilsen, and I highly encourage people to do it if they're in the Czech Republic.
Where's the nearest airport?
Pilsen. Oh. Yeah, you can fly to Pilsen via, you know, one of those. I think you go from
can you
like
go on EasyJet
Southend to Pilsen or something. Yeah. Yeah, you can go EasyJet or Ryanair.
But no, I don't want to go on Ryanair.
Me either.
No one does anymore, do they? It's worth a trip. It's a nice, pretty place.
Yeah, it's a lovely place, but you can get an unfiltered, unpasteurised version of Pilsner Quail, which you can either get from the actual barrels in the brewery or from some of the pubs around the brewery, called Kvasnikovy. And they've sort of brought an unpasteurised. My check's a little bit rusty. And they brought it over here, a version of it. But yeah, that's amazing. And it's proof that lager, when brewed properly, is really, really good. But Joseph Grohl, I still haven't told you, he was a total knobhead.
Really difficult to work with.
A bit like Kenny the. And everyone hated him.
Or Sam.
Yeah, or Sam.
Oh, come
but
on.
Everyone, honestly, if you read any history books about him, everyone's like, yeah, he was very important, but he was a total dickhead.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get on with everyone in life.
No, and
sometimes you just have to work with
people.
No matter if you think they're the biggest bell end on the planet. Yeah, trust me, Ben. Sophie, I feel your pain. I like Pilsner.
And Pilsner Aquel means the original Pilsner. Aquel is original.
I like it. It's a good beer.
It's a good beer.
And it's quite a low ABV beer, isn't it?
Because it's 4.4%.
Yeah, and it's a good beer. Again, we're available for work.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Legend of Liquor. A brilliant one again. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks.
Thank you, Sam, for your wines, which I'm still drinking. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Please do again. There are lots of podcasts. Go back and listen to the others. If you enjoyed this one, we've got all sorts of different drinks going through them. Great, Simon Evans is on one of them, so go back and listen to them. But that's it for this week. So until next time, drink less, drink better.
Absolutely.
And we'll look forward to telling you more next week. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
This was a Grand Cru podcast from 7 Digital.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.